First Corinthians chapter number 1. Isn't it amazing that you can go to church on a day when, I don't know, 50 so people out of town and find out that God is still on the throne? Amen. Amen. Choir still singing, people still teaching, the gospel still going forth, folks are still giving. I'll find out in a few minutes. Hey, listen, church is not about one person that's in the pew. It's about the one person who rose from the grave. And he is the head of the church. We thank the Lord for it. Tonight, briefly, I want to answer three questions. Verse number 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Let the church say amen. Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've been dealing with this letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth, thinking about it from this perspective, keeping the church in the world while keeping the world out of the church. Somebody say amen. And it's a struggle because here we are right in the middle of this wicked, godless world. And by the way, we don't need the world in us, but the world needs us in them. So God has placed us and positioned us and purposed us. And the problem with the church of Corinth, they were planted right, they were built right, they were established right. Upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. And God had established a church among wicked people, and they were moving forward in their purpose. And then the world crept in. And the first sign of worldliness that Paul dealt with in this letter was senseless divisions. There were cliques, there were groups, there were factions, there were all kinds of societies, if you would, in the church. And I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm this way, and I'm that way. And Paul comes through with a resounding statement in chapter number 1. Is Christ divided? No, Christ is not divided. It's not about who told you about Jesus, who baptized you in the name of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. And so he deals with the intimate plea, the informed problem that Chloe, the house of Chloe, had told him, the interrogating provocation, the individual perspective, the indisputable premium of preaching. And then last week, we dealt with the incredible productivity. Aren't you glad that preaching still works? And I know there are a lot of people that don't think it does, but I for one know it does. Amen. It still works. Paul says, I've been called not to baptize. I've been called to preach. And by the way, men of God and young men in this day and age need to understand that the calling to preach is not the call to publicity. It's not the call to fame. It's not the call to just traveling or signing Bibles. When God, by the Holy Ghost, allows a young man or an older man or any man for that matter to be called to preach, he is called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul said that there must be a preached cross. That preached cross receives a sinner's disdain. They call it foolishness. But for those of us that are saved, there's a very saving demonstration. They may not understand it, but those of us got saved, we sure do. Somebody say amen. We understand the difference in the cross. The pledged conquest that he highlighted really from the narrative of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And we saw last week how Judah was afraid of what Assyria would do. And they were tempted by all of their counselors, the king was at least, to go down to Egypt for help. And they found out that Egypt ended up being someone that couldn't help them. And Assyria ended up being someone they couldn't stop. And God brought them down to nothingness to understand you cannot trust in man, you cannot trust in the arm of flesh. When you've been brought to nothingness, there's only one you can trust in, and that's Almighty God. That's what the cross does. It brings mankind to nothingness. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no way to heaven except through the cross. Tonight, I give you Paul's provocative challenge. Where is the wise? These wise were scholars. They claimed to know what human reason presented. They claimed to understand what logic stated. And in their mind, when they looked at the message of the cross, they simply stated, it's not logical. And then the scribe. The scribe prided himself on hair-splitting wisdom. He prided himself on his arrogance and conceit. He was used to write scripture down, and he prided himself on walking around and knowing more than everybody else. The scribe thought he stood in elevation among all of those who were in elementary. He thought, surely the cross makes no sense because it is not to the level of the scribe. The scholar, the scribe, and the skeptic, the disputer of the world. Always those that say, well, I really don't believe it. Always those that say, well, you can't tell me that putting trust in one man's going to get you to heaven. There were always those that said, you can't tell me that mankind can't be caught up in religion in order to go to heaven. There they were, scholars, and there they were, scribes, and there they were, skeptics, and all of them stood as an audience of combatants against the message of the cross. And beloved, here in September of 2019, every single one of those kinds of people still exists. They're on your job. Yeah, they are. They even lead churches. They're leaders. Some of them are politicians, and some of them are athletes, and some of them are celebrities, and some of them are just people on the street. Some of them are theologians. Some of them have graduated from great schools of doctrine. Some of them pride themselves on their high IQ. And yet Paul stands before them, and to the scholar and to the scribe and to the skeptic, he said, I'll lay down the message of the cross before all of you, and it'll whoop you off. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He said, the world's wisdom is no match for the word's wealth. And I say to you tonight, in these last days, may God help us as believers to not be so intimidated by scholarly, scribe-like skepticism that we think we got to come up with something new to defend ourselves. I want to tell you, this timeless message of the cross still works. Amen. And I'm glad God had an answer for the scholar. The scholar thought he was smart, and he thought, there's no way the cross could really answer all of my smart questions. Could I tell you, is there any better plan in all the world that's more intelligent than the plan of the cross? When the Holy Ghost of God and God the Father and God the Son all came together, when mankind was created for creation, God created the heavens and the earth through the agent of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Can you imagine that God Almighty, in the dateless time of past, still looked forward to mankind that would fall and plummet into sin? And aren't you glad those three great intelligent minds came together when it came to conversion? God said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said, I'll die that man might be saved. And the Holy Ghost said, I'll convict man, I'll regenerate man, and I'll allow man to be born into the family of God. Listen to me, scholar, it doesn't get no smarter than that. How about the scribe? Huh? Human reason and intelligence. The scribe always thought, you've got to come up with some way out way in order to get to heaven. And here came the scribe with all of his religion. Isn't that the problem with mankind? They're hung up on religion. The scribe said feast and fast. The scribe said pilgrimage and penance. The scribe said sacrifices and sufferings, rules and rituals. The scribe says do, 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 do. And listen to me, the gospel says you don't get saved based on do. You get saved based on done. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And where the scribe thought he had all the law that was needed to defy the cross, Jesus said, where sin did abound through Paul, grace did much more abound. And the skeptic. He can't change lives. Somebody said D.L. Moody was an uneducated man, and yet he challenged all of those theologians with debates over the truth of the cross. And there they lined up with all of their data and all of their IQ and all of their intelligence. And D.L. Moody, this uneducated man, stood there defending the faith before all of them. Somebody say, how did he fight his way through their gobbledygook? He didn't even go there. When they stood up with all those intellectual discussions, he didn't debate them on intelligence. He just went all around the crowd and had drunks stand up who didn't drink anymore, and liars stand up who didn't lie anymore, and cheaters stand up who didn't cheat anymore, and haters stand up who found their way how to love, and men that found their way how to love their wives, and wives that found their way how to submit to their husband, and kids that found their way how to obey their parents. And all of a sudden, those theologians and those intelligent men put their mouths to rest because they realize you can't doubt something that truly changes lives. The next time somebody questions the credibility of the cross on your job, in your family, in your school, don't spend 4 hours arguing about a bunch of nonsense. Spend 4 minutes telling them, you don't believe the cross? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Religion didn't do it. The church didn't do it. Baptism didn't do it. The preacher's hand slap didn't do it, but the cross did. Where is the scribe? Where is the scholar? Where is the skeptic? I'll tell you where they are. They're standing there with nothing to say because the cross has brought to nothing the wisdom of the world. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you for silencing the crowd. Forgive us for being so shamelessly intimidated in these last days to share with the world the truth. Your heads about and eyes are closed. I just want to ask you a question. I know it's Sunday night. I know there's a holiday tomorrow. I know you're ready to get home, but I want you to think about this. How many of you would readily admit, Pastor, I'm embarrassed to say it, but there are times when I've let the bigness, I've let the depth of intelligence, I've let the hype of the world's noise intimidate me from sharing the simplicity of the gospel, because their stuff seems so much more impressive than my little gospel message. And I've been reminded it's not about scholars, it's not about scribes, it's not about skeptics. It's about simplicity. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And I've been convicted tonight to never be ashamed of the cross. Would you raise your hand all over the room? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to mind the Lord and come and ask God on the altar for a few moments, if God speaks to you or even in your seat. Lord, help me this week to share the simple message of the cross. Standing together, Father, would you bless this invitation time? Move in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen.